You know, there's always a reason why we gather here on Sunday mornings. For some, it's that there are free donuts and coffee. For some, that's not the reason they come. One of the things that we try and do in every Sunday morning is that we try and share with you from the Word of God a message that you can use in this week to come to do what God wants you to do. Now, we don't come here on Sunday mornings saying, well, let's see, what sins can I think up for next week? I hope not. No, we come to learn about God. We come to learn about His will. And one of the things about God's will that in my lifetime, when I was a younger Christian, I had a great deal of trouble discerning between God's will and my heart's will. And perhaps someone this morning is still having difficulty discerning between God's will and the will of your own heart. And so this morning we're going to look at a passage. If you will, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to look at, this morning, discerning God's will. Discerning God's will. And I would like to read 6 verses out of Ephesians chapter 5 that will be the basis of the message this morning, because there is something here for you, for myself, that I want us to look at very carefully this morning, because it is important. If it wasn't important, then none of you would need to be here. I wouldn't need to be here. But I believe that this is very important to all of us as we attempt to discern God's will for us. Ephesians 5, 15 through 20. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for preserving it through the centuries, through the millennia. Thank you, Father, that then you have given us your Holy Spirit to help us to understand the word. And Father, as we meet together here this morning, we ask that your Holy Spirit will work in power, that he will be here in power, working in the heart of each person here this morning. Father, may your will be done. May we discern your will in this brief time of study. And then may your will be done in each of our lives. And Father, we will praise you for all that you do, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In this passage that we're looking at this morning, it is the answer as to how to be successful for the Lord, how to discover and fulfill the Lord's purpose for you as a Christian. Verse 17 of this passage gives us our directive. And the rest of the verses provide instruction about the accomplishing of the directive. Now, I use that word directive because it's a little more genteel than the word command. Because you see, God does command us to do certain things. And those commands are intended to be accomplished in each of our lives. As we look at verse 17, it says, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." We find two commands in that verse. Now, God would not ask us to do something that we couldn't do. Some of you men would understand this. Some of you women might understand this. Have you ever had a mate ask you about something that you have no knowledge of and expect an answer? Why did she do that? I don't know. Or, you know, what should we do in this situation? God does not want us to be in the dark. God wants us to understand exactly what He wants for each one of us. He has a will for you. He has a will for me. And it is His purpose. He's going to try and make that as clear to you as possible. He wants you to understand His will. And if you understand His will, some unique things are going to take place in your life. These commands in verse 17, it's quite an command or quite an order from God to His children. If you're His child this morning, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit has caused you to be born again, you are His child. And these two commands are to His children. Christians should not be fools. Now, we act a little stupid sometimes. All of us do. We say, "Why did I do that?" But Christians are not supposed to be fools. And that is one of the things He tells us. Don't be a fool. None of us want to be a fool. But understanding the mind of God is not always possible for we mortals. I hope that when I tell you that the rest of the verses around these commands tell us how to accomplish what God wants for us, I trust that you will see that before this morning is over. So let's tackle the verses one at a time and see where it gets us. We begin with our walk. It's to be circumspect. That means that it is to be in the light. It is to be wide open. It is not to be sneaky. Now, our apartment is carpeted. I can lay down and take a nap in the afternoon, which I like to do. And my wife likes to sit in the living room and read. But because our apartment is carpeted, I can get up from that nap and I can go in the living room and she's sitting there reading intensely and I can reach over her chair and touch her on the shoulder and scare her. She can sneak up on me also. We are to walk circumspectly. We are to walk in the light. The light of the gospel. 1 John 1:7 tells us, "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, there's a very important message here for us. Fellowship is what causes us to grow. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we are going to grow. We're going to be with other Christians. We're going to be with brothers and sisters in Christ, because we are not going to go to the dark places. We're going to be walking where God is accepted, where God is worshiped, where God can be obeyed. There are dark places in this world. There are dark places in Charleston. There are dark places all over. For example, a dark place, if I were to give you an example, because I have been in some dark places, a dark place might be Saudi Arabia. The gospel is not accepted there. Our God, the God we worship, the God we call Abba, Father, Daddy, He is not worshiped there. He is not known there. They have Allah, who is a God of war, a God of lies, a God who does not keep His word. They don't know our God. That's a dark place. The gospel is not received there. That's a dark place. We're not to walk in those dark places. Sometimes we have to go there, but we're not to walk there on a regular basis. So we need to be sure that we're walking in the light. We're to be wise in our decision making. We should not make foolish mistakes. And we won't if we're doing what the Lord wants us to do. That's maybe where the rub comes. That's why we need to this morning think about discerning God's will. God does something here that's quite important to us if we're willing to submit to His authority in our lives. He tells us why we need to do this. You ever try and tell a child, you know, I want you to clean up your room. Why? I want you to do the dishes. Why? We understand why. They don't. At least they claim they don't. I think they're smarter than we give them credit for. God tells us why He wants us to do this. And I think it's important we understand that and that we know that this morning. He wants us to do this because the days are evil. And people, I will assure you today that the days are evil. I have never seen so much evil in this country or around us. What has happened to our society? What has happened to people loving other people or supposed to love other people? And it today is evil. It's wicked. We're murdering each other. If not with guns, in an abortion studio. Think about it. Could you ever have imagined as a child? Most of us are somewhat, I'll use the term mature, rather than old, okay? We're mature. Can you have imagined in your teen years 60 million Americans being murdered in their mother's wombs? I can't. And yet that has happened. Anybody disagree with me that these days are evil? They are. And so The Lord tells us why he wants us to understand what his will is for us. Everything that we look at this morning is to be help us to be successful living for the Lord. Help us to be successful in life. When the Lord tells us to do something, he always helps us to do it if we're willing to listen to what he tells us. One of the things about our society today that we live in is people do not listen anymore. Have you ever noticed that? You and I do the same thing, and you say, oh no, I listen to people when they talk to me. Let me prove a point. If you meet someone new at church and they tell you their name, do you remember it? You know why you don't remember it? You didn't listen. Same thing happens to me on the phone all the time. Somebody will call and I'll say, and what's your name? And they'll tell me. Or I'll call someone and I need someone to help and to help me with something. And I take a name. If I don't write it down, people, I don't remember it. If I blink, it's gone. That's because I don't listen. If I really listen, I'll remember. And you'll remember too. And so God wants us to understand that there is a reason he is telling us this. We are his children. He's giving us two commands. We are not to be fools, and we are to understand his will. He goes on to tell us how to go about this. And this is very, very important. We touched on it or brushed on it in Sunday school this morning. And be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, when he says be filled with the Spirit, he means all of us, clear to the top of our head. And I can give you an example. There was a time when I had gone up to New Jersey, Newark, New Jersey, with some of my men to have them trained. And they had told me about a place that served a lobster tail you couldn't eat. It was so big. And I just had to go. I love lobster. And so I had to go there and went there. And they served it on a platter. There was just a tail on the platter. It was about that long. It was about that big around. It was a 2.5-pound lobster tail. I could not swallow the last few bites. I was full, clear to my larynx. When God tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, he is telling us to let that Holy Spirit indwell us to the point that we are just absolutely full of the Spirit, guiding us in everything we do, every decision we make, every word we speak. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. There are times in your life that this will happen to you. The Holy Spirit will take control of you for just a few moments. And you will say something, or you will do something, you will accomplish something to the glory of God. And then it seems like he goes away. He doesn't. He's still there. But the control goes away. As a pastor, I've experienced this from time to time as I'm sharing messages with folks, and the Holy Spirit just takes control. And he is speaking through me. I'm not aware of it. Oh, I know he's got control, but when I get to the end of the message, and I start to pray, it's like a letdown because he's not using me like he did for those few moments. And you may experience that in your life. There are times when the Holy Spirit will guide you. He will lead you. He will show you what he wants you to do. And here God is telling us in Ephesians 5:17 that we are to understand what the will of God is. And there's only one way we can do it, and that is if we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, we get in the way of that. You and I are humans. You and I have desires of our own. We have wills of our own. We even have ambition. And so sometimes our will, our ambition, our desire overrides the Holy Spirit. And we, you and I, do the things that get done. It's not God. It's us. So we want to let the Holy Spirit fill us and use us. And so this verse 17 is in two parts. There's the negative part, be ye not fools. And then there's the positive part about being, about understanding the will of the Lord, what it is. And if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we will understand. You understand how hard it is not to be unwise? All of us make mistakes. All of us do dumb things from time to time. And sometimes we even know they're dumb before we do them, but we do them anyway. That's not being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's being filled with us. God wants to manage our life. Tim talked about being servants. Paul, in many of his epistles that he wrote to some of the churches, called himself a bond servant, a servant in bondage, a slave. I don't mind being a slave to Jesus Christ. In fact, I want to be a slave to Jesus. And he wants us to be not just a slave. He wants us to be a tool, an instrument in his hand. Because he has things he wants us to accomplish while we are here on this earth. We have a nature that is contrary to this. We call it the old man. That's what it was called this morning in the Sunday school lesson. But there is a new man, people. And God would not leave us without hope. He would not ask us to do anything that we could not do with his help. He wants to help us. He wants to make us successful. He does not want to see us fail. He does not want us to envy other people. He wants us to be successful and comfortable where we are. That's what he wants. And if we fail, it's our fault. It's not God's fault. It's our fault. Now, he wants to control our thoughts. I have thoughts. Some of you may wonder, whether that's actually true, whether they're good thoughts or bad thoughts, you have thoughts too. And some of them are good, but maybe not all of them. And some of them may tend to take us off the path that the Lord wants us to walk. I, 2 weeks ago, tried to crack a door open just a little bit for you to get a glimpse of a vision for this ministry. The vision could be one of two things. Yes, we should go ahead and start a building project to build that we can get more people in. You look around, you see all these empty seats, and you think, well, we don't need more building. Well, for Sunday school, we do. And we have to build it before the people come. And so that would be a project. We have a vision for growth. Or we have a vision for getting enough people in here that we could send some couples out to start another ministry, another church, another fundamental independent Baptist church in an area that doesn't have one. Those are two visions that we could have. And I don't know what your vision is, but I realized, as my wife and I were talking just this past week, we're talking about goals for the church. And we need them. We had goals when the church had many goals when Connie and I came here, but that was 4.5 years ago, almost 5 years ago. And most of those goals have been fulfilled. But you know what? We need more goals. If we don't have a target to shoot for, we're not going to hit anything. But it's fine for the church to have goals. But the people in the church need to have goals also. And I realized as we were talking, you know, we don't have any goals. Not as a couple, not as an individual. We're wrapped up in the church. And that's fine. But while we're wrapped up in the church, we also need personal goals, and you do too. You must have something you are trying to accomplish in your life beyond trying to get through it in one piece. God has a purpose for you. God has a will for you, and that's what we are looking at this morning, that you might understand what the will of the Lord is. Because if you don't have a goal, if you don't understand what the will of the Lord is for you, how are you going to do what He wants you to do? How are you going to accomplish what He wants you to accomplish? And getting stuff is not what He wants. Because when you leave this life, you're going to leave all that stuff anyway. Can't take it with you. The statement that God makes in that 17th verse is, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And this morning, that is what I would like to encourage you to do. Now, if you know anything about Greek, you know that's a command. It's in the imperative mode. Now, I'll tell you right now that God lives in the same reality that you do. God does not live up in heaven completely devoid or disconnected from you and your life. What's going on in your life right now, God is connected to. He knows. And He knows what you are capable of. I don't know what I'm capable of, but God does. And God wants to use each one of you as a tool. Now, he might want to use you as a hammer or a pipe wrench. What's God's purpose for you? I can't tell you. Only you can discern that. And God has told you, he has commanded you to understand what his will is for you. Now, when I get up in the morning, I have a habitual routine that I go through. I get up, I get ready, I shave, I brush my teeth, I comb my hair. Once in a while when I think I need it, I'll use some deodorant. And then I think about, what am I going to have for breakfast? And I sometimes look in the refrigerator to see what's there. So then I fix breakfast. It's all automatic. I don't think about, well, what is God's goal for me this day? I'm busy taking care of personal things. You probably are too. But God has a goal for you and a goal for me for each day. And it's not to get home and eat supper, although I do like doing that. But he has some specific purpose for each one of you. And there may be somebody that you're going to cross paths with in that day who needs to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to see God in you. They need to see Jesus in you. They need to know what's coming out of your mouth is the truth. It is God's word through you. God has a purpose for you. You know, it's a bit of a challenge to try and figure out each day what God wants me to do. My wife asked me, what are you going to do today? I asked her, same question, what are you going to do today? I don't know. None of you have ever probably replied that, have you? But that's not the place God wants you to be. God wants you to know and understand what his will is for you. And you know where you're going to find that out? On your knees. And if there's no knee time, there's going to be very little understanding. Because you'll be too busy going through life and then experiencing life and trying to survive life to know what God's will is for you. You have a will for you. You want to get through the day and not get hurt, not go hungry. Not get sick. You have a will for you. Can't you have a will for God? So, the Christian should not be found walking in dark places. Should be walking in the light. And then it tells us something about Christians, and we're running short on time, but look at the next verse after 17. Let's start with 19. verse 19. Speaking to yourselves, okay, now people, some people worry about it if you go around talking to yourself, okay? But that's what the Bible says. You can tell them, well, I'm just doing what Scripture said. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You see, the Lord is not in your arm or your hands. The Lord's in your heart. And that's where the melody needs to be made. And that's where the songs need to come forth from. There have been nights where I have woke up with a hymn going through my mind. And all that night and the next morning when I wake up, there's that hymn. And during the day, there's that hymn. There are times when I observe some of you, and you don't know I'm doing this, but I do. There are times when I observe some of you singing. And I know at that point, you're happy. That's a sign. A sign that you're happy. And it's also, it says that we are to do that. We are to, speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart. Man, there's nothing sweeter than a melodious heart. What a wonderful thing to be around. It is. Love to see people singing, knowing that they're happy. Paul was telling, you know, that we were to do this. This is coming from the Lord. And many people, when they think there's nobody around, they will sing. I don't sing in front of folks very much. I don't want to run them off. But there are times when I think there's nobody around that I do sing. Colossians 3, 16 and 17 tells us, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Folks, we need to make sure that we have an attitude of gratitude as we go through life. We should be thankful to God for everything he sends us. To me, if I really believed in purgatory, purgatory would be a rocking chair on the front porch. Not going anywhere, just sitting there. God wants us to experience life. He wants you to experience life. And everything he sends to you, everything he gives you in the way of experience is for your profit, for your success. Can we discern the will of God? Yes, we can. If we let the Holy Spirit fill us and use us. And you know what the Holy Spirit will do? You'll be surprised. He will alter your life in some ways. One of the things that he will do is he will keep you from sin. Yeah. That's one of his jobs. He keeps us from sin. He says, oh, you don't want to do that. You'll disappoint the people, or maybe God can't use you if you do that. And so because of that, you will not sin. Discerning the will of God. You know, there's one thing we can be sure of. A bad attitude will not work out favorably. A bad attitude will not work out favorably. So why have one? It's not going to work out well. So let's just forget bad attitudes. Let's be grateful. Let's be happy. Let's be filled with joy. Let's sing in our hearts. Let's think of Psalms and recite them in our hearts. And we will have an attitude of joy. We will have an attitude of gratitude to God for everything that He sends into our lives. This passage that we read this morning, Ephesians 5, 15 through 20, closes with this verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always. Stub your toe in the night on a door frame. Oh, I'm so glad I did that, Lord. No. That's not usually the way it works out. Can we be thankful for something like that? We can be. We can say, thank you, Father, for the stimulation. Thank you, Father, that I'm able to get out of bed on my own in the morning. Thank you, Father, that you give me another day. What a gift. He's given all of us today. Now, we may not all make it through today, but He's given all of us today. And so as a gift, use it. Use it for profit, His profit. Use it the way He would have us use it. And you will soon find out as you begin working on understanding the will of God that something is transpiring in your life. Something you never imagined. You will find that just automatically you will be able to say with Paul, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's the goal. That's what we can do. That's what we're supposed to do. Let's pray. Father, we do not really understand the way you love us. And many times, Father, we don't understand what you do with us in love. But Father, we have your word, and we do know that your word is true. And so, Father, as we consider your word, we ask that you will help us to understand what your will is for us, that we might understand your will itself. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for each one who has come out this morning to hear your word. Father, now may your Holy Spirit do the work that needs work being done in each of our hearts. And Father, we will praise you for all that you do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close.